a reasonable degree. And I think after this, we're going to be taking a younger break. I have to get myself a different space and instead of homeless miser. So she won't go to the chag. And then we'll take a new topic, a new beginning after Yom Tov, Sefiras HaOmer. All right, Rabbi Isai. The last couple of weeks we've been learning a lot about being miser, about how it's Eino Chelek Olam Haba, and we did him a right ape, and when it's Mutter Lahargai, Atzila Benafshei. I'll just tell you with one line, I don't want to spend the time on this. It's just a sequel to previous. Tonight we're going to do Halach Lamaisa from the Tshuvos Achrayim, things that are practical nowadays. But just as far as leaving off, last time we had a difficulty in understanding the Rambams that speak in very strong terms about how he's like a Avikeris and a Min, and he's a danger and detriment to Klal Yisrael, and it's a mitzvah to remove him. And the other place, in Chol Mazid, Rambam only describes that preventatively beforehand you do so, and afterwards not, even though he's such a Rasha, even though he's done it many times, only do it because of the potential that he'll do it again and you have to save the next guy. But because of his rishus itself, you don't do it, based upon which it's self-safer. We described that a whole... developed a whole sheet of the Rambam versus other Rishonim on the subject. But the Rambam himself seems to speak so many different places, which we gave out last week, in different terms. So I'm going over it afterwards. Just wanted to make this one note before we go on to tonight's share, that the Rambam, one place in particular, which was in Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Gimel, Halacha Beis, speaks about the din of Maridim Ve'imalim, that you cause these people to go down and not go up, including the Meister and the Abikaris and the Meshumad and the Min. Kol Eilu Einam V'Klai Yisrael, V'Einam Shrichem Lo Eidem Lo Hasrav Lo Dayadim, Elo Kol Ahorig Echem Eihem Asa Mitzvah G'dayla, V'Heisir HaMichshol. Those last two words, V'Heisir HaMichshol, besides saying it's a mitzvah G'dayla, get rid of such a Rasha, V'Heisir HaMichshol, he took away the walking hazard that he is. He's a mikshol to the rabbi. Those two words, I think, turned the sugya for me. And I think that that's the idea over here behind the meiser, as well as the min and abikaris and meshumah and all these abikaris and all these kind of people. We're not punishing them because of an einesh bezdin of what they've done. That we need to have a straw and aidim and a bezdin, which we don't have for din and fashis. But what you have to do is we have to protect the klal. And we shouldn't have people that are going to be dangerous and damaging and hazardous to the tzibur. That hazardousness can be either in physically, financially, or spiritually. The malshinim, moisrim, could get people physically or financially into trouble. The abikorsim and minim get people spiritually hijacked, divert them from Klal Yisrael. Either way, they're a mikshel. And either way, it's a v'yartzer b'gevecha. We should get rid of people like that for the public good. It's not for the punishment. That's Bezin's job with Edom and Asrach. But for self-protection, for Klal Yisrael, b'heiser and mikshel. So the difference between them is only that when do you categorize them, when do you establish them as being a continuous danger to the public. So a min, an apikeris, a meshumad, is by the very definition, his whole metzias, his whole way of life, is kvira and diversion away from Klal Yisrael. But a meiser isn't necessarily so. Meiser is not lahachas generally, as I've ever said. It's because of some kind of benefit he wants to have. And who says that he's going to, maybe it's just a one-time thing? Who says it's ongoing? So that's what Rambam feels. He says it's his own Kiddush, and the Rif doesn't necessarily agree to that. That we have to have a chazaka that he's going to be a mikshal. But then we establish him as being a mikshal, just like a meiser, just like a min or a meshumad or an apikeres is right away a mikshal. A mikshal spiritually or physically, either way, it's a mikshal. So either way, we're doing it to get rid of them, in order to protect the Klal Yisrael. And it's only a question when they get to be established to be that kind of a concern to us. And that the river is saying, we don't have a base of to chalik, he's a mikshel right away. But the idea of why we're killing them, and both of them is their rishayim, and both of them is because they pose a danger to Klai Yisrael. Okay, that's just a little sequel to last week. I don't want to be mired on that too much more.
But would we go out and search out the Carson and go kill
them? If we would have that situation, and when we would have a Klai Yisrael that's intact, that's not mixed amongst all the goyim, unfortunately, as we are in America, we would have our own enclave, and then now imagine a missionary moves into Yeshiva Lane. We'll have to do whatever we can to get him out of there, or to Square Town, or to a Jewish area. He doesn't belong over there. So if you could, then invite him to go deer hunting and miss.
What are we talking about? The curse is going after to try to bring people
I really don't want to spend any more time on that. That was a previous year. Tonight we have in this double-page handout more than enough to talk about for tonight. This is the halacha l'maisa of it in numerous practical application situations. And they're starting sort of like from more mild to more severe kind of issues that are raised nowadays commonly. The first couple of tshuvas from Rav Yashiv and Rav Moshe, both, deal with situations that could come up about a thief, a petty thief that goes around looting pushkas in various shuls, or a more advanced thief that in January went into 28 homes in Rangeley in about 2 weeks' time during midday, and all the things that have happened recently. So those guys happen to not have been of our creed or our race even. But let's say they would be Jewish people. The people that steal from the pushkas usually are Jewish people. And the question is, if you know someone like that, then you're going to have information, or if you have video security cameras, and you know who it is. It's Yankel Schwartz. It's a nice Jewish member of our community. Unfortunately, he has either some hard times or a little bit of a weakness in that area of chemdus hamamay, or whatever other reasons why people stoop to that kind of a habit. There are people that, unfortunately, don't wait to get the gabbai tzedakah to write them a check, help themselves. So now you know that he's doing that. Can you go? And we had recently in our shul in this winter, a thief, a theft of five of the Nevi'im, the scrolls, which Baruch Hashem we have recovered with Chasdei Hashem. And we identified definitively exactly the person that was involved, a Jewish member of our community. No one else will really know what a Navi scroll is anyway. Person that's claiming Shem Rishabas and Eichel Kashrus and everything else. And the trial is, can you prosecute him? Can you go and arrest him?
He left the safe at Torah and he took the number?
Yes. Why do you want? Why did he do like that? You'll have to ask him. If you want, I'm not giving out his name and address. He's unfortunately a candidate for very serious psychiatric hospitalization. Okay, it's not a subject right now. But he's, anyways, these things do happen in the history of Klai Yisrael, probably in every gila now or then, every dormitory, every yeshiva, every now and then has someone that goes into other people's closets and drawers and wallets and things like that. It's part of Rubam Begezel, Miutum, Barayas, Vakumum, Vaklash, and Hara. So Rubam Begezel, most of it, that's just white collar, kind of a little bit of cheating here and there. Once in a while, it actually manifests in genuine thievery. So, Shaila is, can we now call the police? We have now the goods on him. We have even videotape of him. In this case, we didn't, but we know who it is. We got it back from the guy that got it from him, whoever he sold it to. And your son was helpful in that, partially. And it wasn't a son, don't worry. Can we report him? So I have over here two conflicting tshuvas. One tshuva is from Rav Yashiv. One tshuva is from Rav Moshe. Rav Yashiv on the top of page 5, the numbers are on the upper lefts. Top of page 5, there's a tshuva And printed in the Kaivis Tshuvas, those were they republished all of his printed writings. About a story about such a thing that was someone was stealing from the Pushkas in shuls in Ashdod. And on the one hand, they were worried that when we call the Mishtara, they're going to cart him away and put him to a place that is not very five-star accommodations. And he's an addition to that, he's also a Baal Mishpacha Gedela. Once they identify him, they know who he is. But on the other hand, this is a walking problem. He's going to keep on doing this. And Kaspi Atzibur and Ne'alamim are just disappearing. And Mio Deod Ma'od, who knows what else is going to be disappeared tomorrow. Maybe it's going to be the Sefer Torah. Maybe it's going to be, who knows. So what do we do? So Yashav essentially answers, go ahead, green light, you're welcome to call the police. He says it based on a tshuva from the Panim Meiros. I printed the Panim Meiros over here on page 5. Most of it, that's relevant for our discussion. And the Panim Meiros has two cases in which a Baal Bus had his safe emptied or had a worker go to pick up his jewels from wherever, the merchant or the jeweler or the deposit box. And somehow they got lost on the way, and I'm sorry they disappeared, but we really know what really happened to them. So in those two cases, when we identify which one of his workers is looting his wealth, can we report him? Over there, the purpose of reporting him, by the way, was not for long-term punishment, was to be able to bring him to break down under the pressure of what he'll be subjected to over there, and finally fess up and cough up and return whatever there is to retrieve. So the Panim Meiros says, brings for the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the middle of page 5, in my printout. This is important, Brisa, to know. Tanya Rav Lozman Yaakov Eber. Shemati shebez namakav onge shlom min adin. That shlom min ateira. That Beis Din has an authority to sometimes impose a punishment that is not really dictated by the regular halachas of Hilchos HaTorah. Lo lavra de Torah, not because they're ignoring Torah and doing it on their own, el kedei lasos siyag la Torah, nor because they feel that the time needs for it, calls for it, and they have to now make an extra takana de rabbanon in this particular instance, like a roa shah. The Gemara brings two stories. In the Yevonim times, when unfortunately large portions of our people were defecting to reform of those days, which was called the Yevonim, Misyavonim, and in an otherwise Shemr Shabbos community, someone came riding his horse on Shabbos, which riding the horse in athletics was very much part of the Yevoni way of life. And on Shabbos, it's usher. Well, the truth is, it's only usher minarbanan to ride a horse. It's not a malacha to rise to ride a horse. But Beis Din took him over there in the game of skila as though he'd be mechal Shabbos. Not because actually halachically he deserved that, nor were there any proper hasra beforehand to make him chay for doing that kind of a chil Shabbos. But in order to lasso siyag the Torah, to be able to put a stop and say, we don't want the foundation of Shabbos to be breached, and people see Shabbos disintegrate in front of them. Another mice of Adam Echosha Hitiras Ishtoi Tachas Hateina, Vyavila Bezna Vihilkuhu. They gave a man Malchus for having a relation with his wife in a public place, even though it was his own wife. He didn't do any kind of Gila Rias. But Ava Pikain, Lob Nesha Roy Lakakna, because halachically he deserved for any lav that he was over on. Lashosho Street Lakach, that would be a terrible breach of the basic Sneas and Kedusha of our communities and ourselves, our people. And therefore they gave him such. This brought down a Chayesh and Mishnah, and Bayes elaborates on that. So this is where the Panim Meiros, 250 years ago, was written in Tav Tzadi Aleph, which is in 1731. He's passing based on an extra Torah kind of halacha, beyond the normal rules of the Torah, because we have to make a getter. And likewise over here, he's concerned that if we let this worker for the boss, you know, empty the safe or take the jewels they went to pick up. People start getting the cue and know how to do this same kind of thing. And many people work for rich masters, and they'll start taking advantage. So we have to now make a siyag the Torah. Therefore, the Panamira says you could stop it. At the very end of the tshuva, I didn't underline it, but the end of that tshuva, he says, however, he pulls his punch at the end. He says, I don't really actually want to allow you to turn him into the authorities. Because Chazal already said, Ketov Michmar, we were learning, like giving over to a wild animal. Over there, if he confesses once he's arrested, Yoduno Salamisa, they might take him and hang him for that, as they sometimes treat thieves. And that I don't want to do. So Rabbi Yashem in the upper tshuva says that, you see, he only pulled back the Panamira, his psak, because he's afraid that it'll go way beyond what we would be willing to allow. But he says, when I put this in bold in the upper paragraph, became a disaster, lo shayab is manenu. Nowadays, a person gets arrested in Israel or America or any civilized country, he's not going to be hung for stealing. He's going to be jailed for whatever, given some time over there. He's not going to actually be put to death. Zelo shayab is manenu. What he was afraid of, the Panamirais, back 300 years ago in whatever country he lived in. I think he lived in Germany, I'm not sure. That nowadays we don't have to worry about. So therefore, Harei Mer Din Rishayim Lufnosu L'Mishtara. Therefore, you're allowed to call the police and hand this guy in and be able to stop the stuff from going on. So that's his basic psak, without getting into particulars of cases that are the variables. But his basic approach is to say yes, it's a siyog to do it because otherwise this you can't allow such a thing. Ramesh, on the other hand, when he has almost a very similar, almost an identical shayla, in the Igros Moshe, on the bottom of page 5, he has also a story about someone that stole from a shul, say rhetorically Kesef, the same guy that stole our Sfarim, our Klafs, also sold to the guy that he sold it to, Talesin with Atares and Tfilins, that he happened to find, you know, and whatever story he made up about that. You can go into any shul you want and you'll find ataros, which are made of sterling silver, or other such silver things, if you get yourself into Aron Kodesh, wherever they keep it, or tefillins. They're all over the place. So obviously it's stolen. So this guy went over there, and that's exactly what this guy did. And he stole some Sefer Torahs and tefillin or klikas from Beis Knesses. Could you give them into their kos? Although Dina, the Mishtara, the police. Are you allowed to call the police? That's his question. And he says, absolutely no. Pashut she'ein lahatir, ein she'ein lahatir. Why? Because what does he deserve api halacha? A ganav has to pay for what he stole. The worst you could do to him, if he doesn't have enough money to pay back, is sell him as an Eved Ivri, in the days when there was Yevil, and there was Dino Eved Ivri. But more than that, if he doesn't have any money, so he'll owe the money, and he'll have to eventually pay it back when he gets the money. But it's purely a monetary debt. There's no malchus. There's no imprisonment, there's no yusuri aguf, that's not what the Torah says for a person, it's just a mazik. It just has luck like any other mazik.
Can you sue him?
Yeah, that's a question it collects. Take him to Beis Din and make him have to pay. If the reason he's not going to listen to Beis Din, then you could, like, that's always a rule that if someone does listen to Beis Din, that we could allow you to take it to court. But you can assume that only for that which is going to be civil, but not criminal. Over here, it's going to cross a line. Once they hear a stealing, they're going to turn it over to the DA and he's going to prosecute him criminally and put him behind bars. So that reminds us that you have no heter. Ein lano mos ledono, v'dvarim shel shayach b'hem dinei tera, which is only mamain, and not yisuri aguf, and imprisonment is yisuri aguf. And it brings a raya, a farish of Gemara in Ma'ikatan, that Reish Lakish saw someone stealing, and he yelled at him and said, stop. And the guy said, no. He went on and kept on stealing. He was eating from the orchard, taking off the fruits and stripping them and eating them. So Reish Lakish said, I'm putting you now in Chayrim. So the guy said, turned to him and said, well, I'm putting you in Chayrim, Reish Lakish, because you put me in Chayrim wrongly, because I just stole. If you want to take me to Beis Din, I'll have to pay you. How much is it? $20, $50, $100, fine. You don't need to put me in Chayrim. And if someone puts you in Chayrim wrongly, they deserve to be in Chayrim. So you're in Chayrim, Reish Lakish. So they went to ask Shaila and the Chacham and Paskind that the Ganav is right and Reish Lakish is wrong. And Reish Lakish had to go and get a hatara for the nidui that he was in. So after Ramayisha, you see from that Gemara that even though a ganav is a ganav, no one's going to defend a ganav. But Ava Pikain, there's a limit to what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do mammon and not nidurin. And likewise, we're supposed to do mammon and not 2 years behind bars, or whatever the amount of time they would give him. So there's no header for such a thing, and that would be an Isser Meiser with all the chumras of Dinah Meiser on it.
Well, what would Meiser say if it's a repetitive guy?
Oh, so here the Chaira, excellent, Rav Isser. With Chaira we have, Rav Yashav on one side saying, yeah, sure, Panam Amira says it's okay. And Rav Meiser says, what do you mean? The Gemara says you can't do it. They're giving him more than what he deserves. The answer is exactly the point. Because Rav Meiser is talking about a one-time case. That's how he described what happened. And he only deserves to pay mammon. Rabbi Yashua starts off saying it was a panam achadais, and I'm afraid of the kaspi at Sibur going to be disappearing in miyudei odmai. It's an ongoing kind of a problem. And the panam iris is also making a getter. He doesn't just start saying because of what he did. It says because we have to make a siyog the Torah b'zman shashot sricha lekach, because otherwise everyone's going to start doing it. Yesh lachish, though, everyone's going to learn from it. And yisrabu hamispartzim adonayim. So when it becomes a precedent setter that's going to now be repeated by many times by himself or by others that are going to think it's a good idea, or when we see a person himself that's doing it shul after shul, he's looting the pushkas or the aron kodeshes, then you're allowed to be meister him because not because of dine geneva, but because lasos yog the Torah, because of bezin makom under shlom and adin. Rav Meisher is saying on a one-time case, like our shul, was a one-time case, he didn't steal from shul after shul. We know the story, what happened with him. So that was a one-time case, so we're not going to be Meisher over him. We'll have to try to get him over to where he has to get the care that he needs. But on a one-time case, Rav Meisher is saying, in principle, a ganav is only chayav bama, he's not chayav yisur yaguf.
Wasn't the problem here, is this the case, I'm not talking about the rest of the truth, but the shayav sounds like a case where you need the information. You
want to try to get him to fess it up, to
right.
Confess and to give it back.
It's sort of like it's the only way you can be able to recover what's up with him, because you know he has information.
Right.
And you know that you can't.
But are you allowed to now give them over to them where they're going to do more than what he really deserves?
So part of
what his tshuva is that, you know, even Beis Din is allowed to hit him and torture him to get him to confess. If we have reason to believe that he really has it. Because he has a chiyuv right now of a heshiv, and we're allowed to be kaivin us achdeis nafshah to be kaivin mitzvah of sukkah or lulav, or likewise
heshiv.
Right.
To do that.
Right.
So
he invokes.
And then you can't do it. We would do this because you have to be misake to be able to interrogate thieves or suspected
right.
thieves. And the only way to do it is to use the authorities. That's what we're going to do.
Right. Rav Yashiv is taking this not just to be able to recover the money that was stolen, but to stop this from being an ongoing situation. So if you have a reason, and this takes a shikla das in the situation, but if you have a reason to believe that this is an ongoing situation, because it's already been 5 shuls in the neighborhood, it's only a matter of time, it's going to be others too. And then Kaspi Tzibur are going to be no longer disappear. And Mio Dea Ma'o, what's going to be the next thing is going to disappear. So we have a walking hazard, an ongoing situation, so that we have to put a stop to. We can't allow that. And even if it's going to be Masira, so let it be like so. If it's one kind of thing, then Ramesh is saying that a ganav is a ganav. He's not a chayamalkas or something more than that. The Rambam, which I brought right away on page 6, which we've already learned beforehand, makes this chilek and says that even though we learned early on the Gemara in Gittin about Mar Ukva that someone was harassing him and making his life miserable and not giving him a break, and he said, I can't take it, I can't stand it anymore. They said, sorry, you can't be Meiser. Well, the Rambam says that's only by a yachid. But when he's a Mitzayris Harabim, when he's touching the klal, the tzibor, kolameis, the tzibor, mitzayr also, mutu the most, be out of goyim, then we could do that. Not to have him killed, but lahakosu, laasro, to imprison him, ulakansai, to penalize, to fine him, but not because of a tzar yachid. We learned through Rabbi Yonah about the mechal b'kerem Hashem, not getting back into that right now, but here the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch give us clear a distinction between when it's affecting the Rabbim or just a Yachid. So Ramesh is dealing with a case when it affects the Yachid. He says no. Rav Yashiv and the fund is dealing with cases affecting the Rabbim, so he says yes. And hence, you need to know each case and each tshuva, the context, and the application. That's scenario 1, all that we've discussed until now. Scenario 2 is the Minchas Yitzchak. Very interesting shiva, Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, Avbez Yerushalayim. Minchas Yitzchak talks about reckless drivers, people that drive at 95 miles an hour and go around without stopping at red lights and stop signs and right of ways and one way streets and go to Mincha at 65 miles an hour up a small side streets, things like that are a endangerment, and Chas v'Shalom was just a matter of Hashem Yishmerenu, it should never happen. We're afraid of what should never happen. So he says, you know what? People that have it in a variety. They're endangering whoever is driving around them or walking a pedestrian around them, or when he comes in there, you know, you take cover. So you can't create a situation that people have to run to take cover. Now, obviously not everyone's going to. Some old lady or little girl is going to be walking wrong at the wrong time. And we're going to have not such good news come out of that. Zokter, that is pushed to him. Even though he goes on a number of couple other, he says it's Messiah. So Rabbim, the Rambam we just invoked beforehand. But he says you don't have to come on to that over here. That a person that's no Seyed, but Mehiras Mufu Rezes, exceeding. Now, I'm not talking about just going 75 instead of 65. That's the norm. But 90 is not the norm. There's a point at which everything is going fine, it's fine. 9 times out of 10, maybe 99 out of 10, you go. But one time, if you have to make a quick, you won't be able to. If you have to stop, you won't be able to. Ashelo yuchel atzor as a rechav berega she is dark latzor b'liligrom asayin kuchazos will make a tragedy dina kuraydef, and therefore if you can kill him on the spot. But short of that is if you have your phone, call 911 and say there's a Dodge, 205 that has the following license plate upon it. He's driving recklessly, and soon you're going to hear a siren coming after him. He's going to be arrested, and he's going to sit over there. Who knows what they're going to do to him, or they're going to take away his license, and he won't be able to go to work. Well, at least the town will be safer. Likewise, he gives a couple of these other kind of situations. A person that does habor mikivud achel and sawa lenzai goes the wrong way on a one-way street, or okiv rechav acher, he's what's it called, tailgating. He's okay, he's following right afterwards at high speed, and then one stop, and all of a sudden like that. Or noig rechav without having a license, without having been properly trained, learning how to handle it responsibly, any kind of thing like this. You're right, Dave. He doesn't want to hurt anyone. Chas v'Shalom. He's a good boy. He's just a teenager. And he doesn't want to hurt anyone. So then he goes to prove that their din is that even though you're not having kavanah to do so, then it still has the demeisa. Ava Pikin, he says, don't jump so quick to do it. There is a halacha, and Shulchan Aruch says a number of places, of giving the guy a warning, and therefore you have to facilitate that, either yourself or your rav, or he says go to take him to a bezdin, whoever would be the right authority in that, and say, mister, we've heard some stories about you, there's a little reckless stuff, it has to come to a stop, or we're going to give permission to call the authorities if we hear one more story about this. You have to somehow put him on notice. Unless you mamash see a imminent kind of danger, then you don't have to, the Ramah says, then you could just go ahead and save people. Okay, that's a relatively par of a situation. A little bit more elevated, rodeif, than the Pettiganov, but a little bit more elevated than that, but still mild compared to the next. The next, unfortunately, is the most painful stories possibly the Rabbanim get, Paiskim. We try to defer this to bigger people than ourselves to be able to Paiskim if it ever comes up. But Rahman Slan, there are situations that doctors or educators or therapists confront with situations of various types of abuse, physical abuse or sexual abuse that happens at a home setting or a school setting or a camp setting or all kinds of different situations. Either physical abuse is the first question. This is presented by Dr. Avraham, the Nishmas Avraham, to the Talmud Bubuk or Shlomo Zalman. He's presenting these shahs over here to the Tzitz Eliezer and asking for psak about a doctor, a pediatrician, sees kids come in over there, and you can see that these injuries weren't innocent. And that they could tell the kid was beaten or burnt or, all kinds of the marks are telling. Just ask one or two questions, it's unfortunately too obvious. And l'davoni ein hadavar nadir. Unfortunately, it's not so rare that these kind of things happen. And sometimes you have to really worry that this guy was pushed to a point of a genuine sakana. Are you allowed to call the protective services or whatever department would be that would be in charge? And the consequence that he's particularly concerned over here is that they might remove him from the home and put him into a foster home that would be not religious or not Jewish.
The
child would be removed from the home because the parent or parents are both abusive. And therefore, for protection of the children, they're going to put them in a safe home downtown.
The doctor also has people who know about these types of
mandated reporting.
Also in danger of prosecution as well if they don't report it.
Mandated reporting. Rabbi Yashav sort of deals with that. There's a kuntris in the... there's a whole set of like 25 volumes of Yeshurun, big fat black volumes. The shul has a few of them. I have more of them at home. In Chelek Tesvav, there's a kuntris on the subject. And it's tshuvas written to many, many paiskim dealing with this issue. And part of the, and it starts off with shilas from Rav Chaim Kohn, Ben Chaim Chaim, to Rav Yashav, and the whole list of other chashuvah paiskim nowadays. And part of what he's describing over there is mandated reporting from a doctor, a teacher, counselor, etc. Rabbi Yashav doesn't relate to that. He seems to dismiss that as not being the hormone of the Malka. Did we tell you a story about Rabbi Lozman and Rabbi Shimon? Did we ever discuss that, Gemara? Hey, Gimel. Did we talk about one of the Warshir over here?
No.
A regalachas. This is a one-minute treatment of a three-hour topic. There's a Gemara over there in Daf Pei Gimel about in Bava Tzia that talks about Rav Elazar ben Shimon, the son of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, who got himself into a situation that he was appointed to be the detective for the law enforcement and to find the Ganavim, and who were behung by the Romans, killed. And he got into it. He was given orders to do so, and he did a very clever way of doing it. He was able to find out who's the Ganav and who's innocent. But the Ganavim that he identified as being Ganavim ended up hanging. Other Tanoim criticized him for doing wrong on that, and he said Kozo Nu Chalav and Akerem, and it came out right. So there's the Beis Yezer brings down a Shin Pei Ches, and this simon over here about Meiser, that he brings down a Tshuva Zarashba at great length that deals with that topic, that sugya. And he says that Chas V'Shalom, Reb Elazar ben Shimon, wasn't doing Mesira, it wasn't, it's from the B'nai Aliyah, the Gemara we talked about Reb Shimon Yochai and the son of Reb Shimon in the highest of terms. And he says even the other ones that criticized him was only Asamidas Chassidus, he shouldn't have done it, according to their opinion. But he said the reason that was mutter is because he was an appointee of the king. He became now part of the FBI or whatever agency. And the king himself has a right to do so. The king is part of the Parshas HaMelech, is that he's allowed to make laws, and he's allowed to make, similar to what we just learned, that Bezin is Makom V'Onesh Shlomo Adin, when he sees that things get out of hand, that he could be ma'anish afil with Einish Misa for Geneva in order to be able to put a stop to these kind of things. And that's within the rights of a melech. And the melech doesn't do everything himself. He sits on a throne. He orders his servants. So if you now become the Eved that's assigned this responsibility, then you're the Yad HaMelech and Shluchu Kamaisei. And therefore, what you're doing is within what the Torah allows a melech goyim to be able to do. We want to be able to melech v'mishpat yam and oretz, to keep law and order. There shouldn't be issues reyachayim below in order to put a stop to such criminal activity. So he has the right to do so, the melech, and you are working for the melech. This relates. Okay, well, let's not get into that for the IRS. Let's not get into that right now. And therefore, what he was doing was 100% mutter. And the machlekes and the tonium was it roy lefnim rishus din for a chassid gadol like him or not? But Rabbi Yashiv dismisses that and saying, just because they made a law you have to report doesn't mean that you're now an agent of the Yad of the Melech. And therefore, that's not going to be the heter. So what is the heter for these kind of situations? The Tzitz Eliezer right now, to abbreviate this discussion, but you have it over here in front of you, you can read it. The Tzitz Eliezer, as well as other Paiskim that in the that Yeshua, I didn't bring it in right now, the most basic reason to be able to report him is Asreidev, because he is endangering that child that he's beating or abusing in various kinds of serious ways. And that could, if it's not going to actually kill him, it could destroy him emotionally, psychologically, religiously, and possibly very often make him go off, go into drugs, commit suicide. A lot of those kinds of things are associated in a large degree with people that have been abused in somewhere along their youth. So therefore he said, right if, and a right if, you're therefore allowed to treat like that. This is the, in a nutshell, the tshuva from the Tzitz Eliezer. Rav Yashiv, when he deals with the same subject, and I have to say, at the very, very end, the Shuli HaMichtav, now I'm up to page 8 already, on the Shuli HaMichtav, which is the postscript note at the end of the tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer, says, besides everything I said, Api Alacha, Dinu Reidev, by the way, of course, there's also the concept about Bezen Makam Onjer Shlom and Adin, kind of what we mentioned beforehand. But Yashiv in his tshuva, and this is tshuva that's printed now in the Kovetz tshuva, it's the volumes that they have from Rav Yashiv, but it was first printed, they just reprinted the tshuva that he had to Revival Kohn in, that was printed in the Yeshua and earlier. And over there, there's a whole correspondence back and forth, on the subject. There, his tshuva, he was asked a shayla, if we know that someone is acting inappropriately and abusing children, boys or girls, in school, council, the sport, whatever camp, whatever it might be, these kind of settings that they occur, Shem Yishmerenu, could you report them? And he says, yes, based, not on dinner reidev. And also besides reidev, the Ramah Paskins and Shem Peches of Zion, that if a person is just, we learned this, it's just harassing and teasing and bothering a person, driving him crazy, you can't be mice to him. But that's only when he doesn't get physical. Once he physically attacks and he does it again and again, he's a bully, and he's going to do it again too, then you're allowed to be mice to him, the Ramah says. I'll cause a difference, it crosses a line. And they said, the police come over, they say, so this is worse than that. Besides the fact that he's beating him, even without that, this type of abuse is worse than a simple hit. This penetrates deep into the very person on many different levels.
Also, I guess you assume it'll continue.
Right. And therefore it should be mutter. But Rav Yashiv doesn't go take that route of saying that he's a makia, or he's a mitzaris rabim, or that he's a reidev. He goes straight with the Rashba, the truth we mentioned earlier, about Bezdin could be makam onjer shlom and adin. And it quotes a very interesting statement from the Rashba. I'm towards the bottom of page 8 or 8 now. Rashba says that Bezin is allowed then to be makin or this kind of way. And doing so, Bezin sometimes going beyond the letter of the law and deciding to do something to penalize and stop or punish it in a particular case, something that's out of hand. This is words of the Rashba that Rav Yashiv quotes. She'imatem amidim akol adineim hakatsuvim b'teira. If you want to be very strict and particular about, well, it doesn't say exactly like that, and you need to have Adam, and you need to have Bezi, and you need to have Asroi, and you need to have all the different, and therefore you're going to get everyone off the hook, which lo lanosh ela commotion and unja Torah, and limit on punishments only to that which fits into the strict definition of the law, nimsa oilam chariv, the world you can't operate like that. It's going to be chaos. It's going to be hefkervelt. Nimsa portsim god rejim shalom. People are going to get away with murder, literally. Nimsa oilam shamein. I'm skipping pieces. And Chazal made different Dekanas and Kanasais. And Bechol Makom Makom Danam Ligdor Asador. Every generation, its leaders, its Gedolim, its Chachamim, have to get that door in line and take control. V'chein Osim, Bechol Dor B'Dor, Bechol Makom Makom. This is not just limited to the Sanhedrin Gedolim in Yerushalayim when there was a Beis Hamikdash. This is in every country and in every generation. its leaders have to keep us to be able to have a terrorist society that's a functioning society, that can't have things that are going to wreak havoc on the society. And it brings more eyes on that. Zokhtar Rabbi Yashiv, that you see from this Rashba, that a Dabra that we see that has a Tikkun Olam in it, then we have a Kayak for the Chachmi Yisrael, but Chol Dor V'Dor, which means, and we nowadays could invoke that as well, myself, Rabbi Yashiv, and all other contemporary Paiskim, we could say that that applies to this as well, and there's a consensus among that. Ligdor Geder V'Lo Peretz, even if it doesn't have the din of Hormud Malka, which means even I don't accept the argument of a mandated reporter being therefore an armor of the king, like Rav Elazar Shimon was, doesn't matter. I could just make it as a tikkun olam. We can't allow this. So when I saw this tshuva from Rav Yashiv, I was first very troubled. Like, what do you have to go with this kind of very creative approach? Why don't you say brass tacks and say he's Mitzayir Sarabim, or even Hakadar was Matrit, or because he's a right ape on these different kind of instances? This is going way beyond all those halachas. You're saying, well, we could do it anyway. Why do you have to do it anyway? Why can't we do it based on the halacha? And the more I thought of it, I came to realize that he was doing something very brilliant over here. Because if you go with that approach, it'll work in certain cases, not other cases. For instance, there's beating and there's beating, if you're talking about physical abuse. And what happens if it's not that bad? And there's no sakonas nefashes. So it didn't write if it's not. A person that's right of achara erva has a din like a right of that's going to kill someone. So if he's abusing boys, which is Mishkav Zachar, which is Chayav Skila, right? So then that's a right of Achar Erva. But if he's abusing little girls, there's no Isidrais in it. They're not Nidas even. They're certainly not Ervas. They're not his sisters or brothers or whatever. Right? So you're going to get into areas that you're going to have a problem to prove that you could be right of over there. There's cases that are going to not necessarily make the grade of that kind of treatment. Rabbi Yashiv says, I don't want to get into all the detail. It doesn't matter. We can't allow this to go on. And at the big deal also, it's across the board, straight. And therefore, I don't have to start arguing about every particular case. This way, he covers everything in one swoop.
Is he going based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin?
Yeah, that's what Rashi was going on. But he says, a couple caveats, a couple things to consider. But you have to know that it's true. You have to have a good grounds to believe, even though there almost never are actual, genuine aid to the fact, but you have to make an investigation and come up with a real, real strong grounds that you believe that this is true. Because if it's true, it's a tikkun olam. But if it's not a true, it's a haras olam. It's a destruction. You're going to take an innocent person, put him away in a place that as he describes it, l'matzav shetov moso michayev, where a person would rather be dead than alive to be there. Right? Because sometimes, because some kid in a class is angry at his Rebbe that it flunked him. So you know what? I'm going to report to the CPS. I'm going to call the authorities at you. I'm going to say, oh, you touched me. Right? Or you hit me. And how do you prove that you didn't? In the meantime, by that time, they make an investigation. It takes a year before they finally say it's unsubstantiated. In the meantime, your job is gone, your family is gone, your parnasa is gone, your whole matzav is gone. And maybe they do worse than that, they even decide to incriminate you at Rachman Slan. It's whatever follows from that. And because some kid got peeved at you, he can make something up. So you have to make sure you're dealing with the real case. Number one. Number two, he says, Yesh gam lishkol begerish asolot. This is another part that he adds. They didn't print over in the Kovetz Shuvas, but it's printed in the Yeshur in his correspondence with Revival. Yesh gam lishkol begerish asolot. You have to know what it means, abuse. There's abuse and there's abuse. You know, nowadays, it's the most abused word is abuse. You're abusing me. The little kids already know the word, certainly teenagers. And Shev hashkafa shalehmi acheres legamri mishalonu. Their definition, what goes into that, and where we would agree or disagree, might be worlds apart. So you have to know what you're talking about before you just quickly verbal abuse, right? It's emotional abuse. Everything in the world. What?
Bullying.
Right, right. And that's not a serious thing. It's a serious thing that every mechanech has to deal with. But because of that, to go to that point of Masira, you have to check what you deal with. And therefore, bottom line, he says, Ubuchain. Afo, clearly the conclusion we have to come to is, I'll call mikro mikro in every particular instance that comes up. Don't jump to conclusions. Make sure you have people that have proper use of a das and the proper hashkafa and the proper understanding of what the issues are involved and the lachas that are involved, which everything that we've treated over here on these sheets and these recording and tapes and such is only a little bit of a taste of a big sugya that's bigger than all of us together. And it's for people that are bigger than all of us together to be able to paskin. But we're just getting some feel, some taste of what it's all about. And the rest, we have to look up to our gedolim and daven that we should have shalom al Yisrael. Achak kosher v'sameach, and merch shem to restart again after Pesach.